I'm from Michigan, a place back in the States. And you might be a redneck. You ever heard the little redneck jokes? You might be a redneck if you like try to heat your engine in the wintertime by starting a fire on the top of your bonnet of your Jeep, warm up the engine. You might be a redneck. And you might be a redneck if you go out and shoot venison for breakfast. And you might be a redneck if you hang that same deer up in a tree and eat off it for a week. And you are a redneck if you use a chainsaw to cut it up. What? Still frozen? I know somebody like that. You know, he hangs his deer out in the freezing cold, and he goes out there with a chainsaw. Cuts chunks off it for breakfast. He's a redneck. Well, today I want to point out what a rebel is. And I hope God speaks to your heart here today and teaches you what a rebel is. We all have a little bit in us. And I think that particular song, I think, really was a class. I think it fits really well with what we're talking about today. Right now, I want to go to God in prayer and ask Him to help us, because there's a spirit of darkness that keeps people in darkness. And we want to ask that to go away right now. Let's bow our head and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, I pray that right now that You would bind the strong man, the spirit of darkness that tends to keep people blind to the truth. May the Word of God have free course and be glorified today. God, it's after lunchtime. Many people get tired, and I'm asking for the Spirit of grace. Keep this going. I ask You to convict hearts. Have Thine own way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to go through a little list right here just to see if you're a rebel or if you've been a rebel. You are a rebel if you're still thinking about sneaking out at night from your room. You're a rebel if you're still thinking about going to the corner store without asking permission. You're a rebel if you're going to wear your hair however you like it, whether your mom and dad ask you to cut it or not. You're a rebel if you think people should be able to see your undergarments when you walk. I mean, the penguin walk was in for a long time. Their lads hauling their trousers down like that. The penguin walk was in there for a little while. Maybe not so much today. You're a rebel if you think speed limits are more like suggestions. You think curfews are for prisoners, not you. You think windows in your room, at home, make great doors after other people have gone to sleep. That rules are meant to be broken. You're a rebel if you refuse to lift the lid and put it back down. Your room looks like a bomb went off. I'm not talking about here. You just had an inspection yesterday. Probably your rooms are squared away, but what is it like back home? Mom and dad tell you to clean your room and you don't do it? You're a rebel. You're a rebel if you're not going to stop listening to the world's music, even though pastor, parents, others tell you it's going to hurt your soul. You're a rebel if you tell your parents you're going to go here and then you go over there. I used to do it all the time. All the time, man, when I was a kid growing up, teenager. You're a rebel if you argue and talk back to anyone who's in authority. You're a rebel if you refuse to do what the Bible says or what your pastor asks you to do, because the Bible says, honor those who are in authority over you, who have the rule over you, who watch for your soul, as they that must give an account for you, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You're a rebel if you enter a room and search the crowd for others who are rebelling against God. It's called rebel radar. You can just pick out there. Oh, there she is. The ones who are, you know, slacking off, don't really want to get involved. I used to wear really long hair when I was a kid, playing rock bands and all, and we would go away places, and I never wanted to get involved in what other people were doing. I'd have stood there and combed my hair, man. I was going to borrow that wig, that big old long wig, and put it on, because that's about what I looked like. Well, you don't believe that now, I know, but you're a rebel if you don't want to confess Jesus Christ, because you know you're going to have to give up some things. Before I got saved, that's the whole reason I didn't want to get saved. I knew if I got saved, I was going to have to change some things some of the nasty habits we're going to have to go. Kids I ran with, we're going to have to go. Things I spoke, we're going to have to go. I didn't want to give up any of that. I didn't want to get saved because I thought I was going to have to change and I didn't want to confess Christ. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, this is His commandment, that you should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us. That's His commandment, is to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, to confess Christ. You're a rebel. If any of these things are in your heart, even though you don't do them outwardly, it's what they call being a passive rebel. Yeah, you're really good around your parents. You're maybe even really good here at camp. But if your heart is not with the people here, you're a rebel. You're a rebel if you only make your bed at camp, and not for your parents when they tell you to. You're a rebel if you despise those that are good. In fact, you avoid them, especially in public, because this, the commandment, same commandment, is to love those. Well, after checking the list, who's a rebel? Where did rebellion start anyways? We're talking about Samson, who was a rebel. Well, where did it start? Some would say back in the Garden of Eden. Didn't Adam and Eve get a commandment from God to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And yet, the devil came along and convinced her to doubt God's word. And so she saw it was good. It was the first LST trip. She looked, she saw it, and she took. However, rebellion started a little bit before that. I want to go back and look at this for a second. Ezekiel chapter 28. Turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 28. We're going to go. We'll get back there to 1 Samuel. But Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at this. Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. I'm not going to read through all the precious stones, but there's diamond, onyx, beryl, beautiful. Satan was the most beautiful creature. But look at verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now turn your Bible back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And you'll see where rebellion started. How art thou fallen from heaven? Verse 12 says, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And it's understood that that conversation is talking about Lucifer working through the king. But he, in fact, apparently sinned, was separated from God in his self, in his pride. That was his problem. He was full of pride. He rebelled against God. And it was him who came down into the Garden of Eden, and he talked to the girl through an innocent snake. And she thought he was a friend. But he said, yeah, has God said? Got her to question the word of God. She took from the tree and plunged us all into darkness, and you're born a rebel. You're born that way. Because of Adam and Eve, when they sinned, death came into the world, and that death passed upon them. It wasn't physical death, it was a spiritual death. People have a darkness. They can't see the light, and they do things contrary to the light. Well, now turn your Bible back to Judges, if you will. Judges, where we've been talking about Samson. And Joshua, Judges, again, we're going to go to chapter 14. We're talking about Samson being a rebel. And what is a rebel? We're trying to understand what a rebel is. And we're trying to understand how to get out of being a rebel, how to stop being a rebel if we tend to be rebellious. And we're going to get down to that in a minute. But Samson sought an occasion against the Philistines. Look at this. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman at Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I don't know how he said it. Doesn't matter. He was telling his mom and dad what to do. He was being a rebel. You know, it was not God's will for him to marry a woman outside of his Jewish faith. It was not God's will. So, and he's trying to tell his mom and dad what to do. And he was wrong. Happens that way a lot. Number two, it was not God's will for Samson to tell his parents what to do anyways. He was supposed to honor his mother and father. Turn your Bible, hold your finger right there because we're going to come back. Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar. I'm glad you know it, but I want you to look at it and read it for a second. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. First commandment with promise. This is the number. It's the fifth commandment in the list of 10 commandments. All children tend to break the commandments. You know who the worst sinner in the whole Bible was? Worst sinner in the whole Bible. Who do you think it was? Just guess. Anybody? Who? Satan? Is that what you're saying? Judas? Yeah, he was pretty bad too. I think it was Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. Okay. Anyways, I was just like him. Even though I didn't do it all at once, even though I didn't kill somebody, I wanted to. When I was a kid, I wanted to beat up my friend because he threw snowballs at me. It's just like, I appreciate that lesson we had today. Barry, it was great. Thanks for that. That was great. I enjoyed your lesson today. But it's so normal just to attack people. That flesh coming out. Well, Samson didn't care what his parents thought, and he would not listen. And some of you don't care what your parents say either. And you don't care what the preachers say either. This camp is brilliant. I think we should be sending Pastor Ledbetter off. Forget the anniversary. Just send him away. Give him a break. Man, he spent all year, in my mind, planning this thing out. And the way everything dovetails is phenomenal. And the Spirit of God is going to take all the messages, all the songs, all the testimonies, even the skits, and he'll dovetail that for a message to you. God has got something for you. And by the way, even though some of you don't care what the preachers say, I want to tell you a story about a former camper. A guy who sat right where you're sitting. It couldn't have been 5 years ago. He heard the messages from the preachers. In fact, he was at camp about three times before we were even at this place. Down in Bandon. Heard the messages. Great things about coming out of Egypt, leaving your sin behind. But when he got old enough, he didn't want to stay, go to camp anymore. 18 years old, you know. Man. So he took liberty and didn't go to the camp the year that we talked about Joseph. And he missed one of the most important camps, I think. One of the most. They're all so good. That was just one that was really good. And after he left home, he went out and got work. And as he was working in his place of employment, he met a girl who was having problems. She had been married before, and her husband was abusive, and she left out of that situation, and she was very hurt, needed help. So he tried to comfort her. He'd been counseled all his life to not marry outside of his faith. He had been counseled and challenged all his life to do what God's word says, to honor his parents and love God with all his heart. And he came to camp, sat right where you're sitting in various places, heard all the great messages, listened to all the songs, and in the moment, in the heat of passion, decided to satisfy the flesh, and ended up marrying a girl, and to this day, struggles with the flesh. What's really mad is that you, these messages are meant for you, and it's really weird because when you're here, you get caught up in all the fun, and all the songs, and all the stuff, and some of that stuff that's going right to the heart just blows off, and you don't get it. But God's trying to speak to you. I know that story's true, because it was my son. I'm telling you the truth. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be crying, because I've got to have the power, I've got to go through this whole thing. And I love my daughter-in-law, I love her. She was born again, I thank God for that. But I think they would both tell you today, I'm sorry, Dad. In fact, he did. Call me up on the phone. I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't do what God told me to do. But just like Samson, man, he's going to suffer for it. He's dealing with it right now. And the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And it is true. I'm telling you it's true. This message, this whole camp is great. And it is for you. It is like medicine for your soul. And I pray, if you're a rebel, and you just like, you're saying, I don't care about that stuff. I want to do what I want to do. I was the same way. I told you, I had long hippie hair. I ran with the crowd. I did whatever I wanted to do. And I didn't care what my parents told me. But by the time I was 18, I'd already been in 12 vehicle accidents. I should be dead. I went 2 weeks ago to visit my cousin. Nice kid, he's a hard worker, boy, he's been dealing all his life. Gets in one accident with a motorcycle, driving all by himself, just bought a brand new Harley Davidson. Brand new $20,000 motorcycle. Come off a freeway, went around a corner, started going around another corner, and nobody knows what happened. All they know is he flew 30 feet through the air and landed in somebody's garden, busted all his ribs, save two. Broke his spinal column in three places. He can't feel from the waist down now. One accident. I think God had, he constantly had mercy. That song I sang to you, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay, is true. Deadly true. I don't know how else to get it into your heart to tell you it's so true. Samson grieved his parents. The Bible says that children, I can't remember the proverb, but it says that their heads, when they don't do what God's word said, they grieve their parents. It's a heaviness to the mother. He grieved his parents. Look at that. Judges chapter 14 back there. Judges 14. Look at verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there not a woman among the neighbors, the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Are you mad? Are you going to take an unbeliever? It grieved their heart. I'm telling you, it grieved their heart. It did. And you will do the same thing. You grieve your parents' heart if you continue on the way you go without the Lord. All right, let's get into this for just a second. Who did Samson rebel against, really? He rebelled against his parents, didn't he? Samson's parents were believers. I'm sure they went to the synagogue or something. They heard the word of God. He rebelled against them. He knew he wasn't supposed to take a wife from the unbelievers. He knew that. Who else did he rebel against? He rebelled against the preacher. I'm sure when he went to the temple, they got up and read the word of God. I'm sure he heard Genesis. I'm sure he heard that. I'm sure that he was told, to not do that. And he did it anyways. So he rebelled against the preachers. And he rebelled against the preeminent God whose word clearly teaches us to not marry outside of the faith. Make sure you marry someone who's a believer. If you don't, you get married to somebody who's not a believer, and it'd be like yoking up a donkey and an oxen and try to plow a field. And it doesn't work that way. Imagine the donkey's trying to jump off this way and the ox is trying to plow a straight path and the donkey's trying to get away. That's what it'd be if you were married to somebody who wasn't a believer. You'd both be trying to go two different ways and it doesn't work that way. I'm married for 26 years because God saved my soul and gave me a woman who's faithful. I praise God for that. I think that was great. Keith was so right on in his message the other day. Hope you remember that. But Samson rebelled. Why did he rebel? Because he thought he should have whatever he wanted rather than what God wanted or what his parents wanted him to have. Yeah, Pastor was so right. Your parents are your coaches. They're going to coach you according to the wisdom they had, hopefully from the Word of God. They're going to try and lead to the what? The reason they do that is because they love you. They want you to turn out to be good, godly, upright, moral citizens of your country, if nothing else. He thought he should have whatever he wanted rather than what God wanted. Samson rebelled because he was weak in the spirit. What really is rebellion? Well, we went through that list. We saw what some of that kind of stuff is. But the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as idolatry. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft? Well, who's a rebel? We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So no matter what you're thinking right now, whether you think you're good and you're okay, doesn't matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't go to heaven. By the way, this was good. I just heard this the other day. I think Sunette, who's going to be here in a little while, she said, somebody heard her said, no one goes to heaven by default. You don't just go to heaven when you die. Nobody does. You have to make a choice to receive Christ as your Savior, to turn from rebellion to Christ. No one goes to heaven by default. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody is going to make it without a Savior. Can't do it. You have to make a choice. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. What do witches do? You know what? They give the appearance that they have supernatural power. So did Samson. I like that. He looked like a superhero. He thought all the strength was his own. He didn't realize it was God empowering him when he slew a lion. Tore apart a lion. People can't do that. He broke it like a kid, like a little lamb. Pulled his arms, legs off, broke, ripped his jaw in half, just did it. And I'm sure if you were there, you would have been a superhero. He's my friend. But that came from God. You can't just do that. You can't just pick up the jawbone of an ass and whip 1,000 people. You can't do that in the flesh. It ain't going to happen. But God was with him. It was the Spirit of God. He thought it was himself, that he was some kind of superhero. But God had designed him to set Israel free. He was supposed to use all that strength, and Keith hit it right on the head the other night. All that power was there to get rid of the enemy. But he used it on himself. He was a rebel. He didn't realize God was empowering him. Witches may not realize that they're working with Satan and his angels called demons. They think they have a supernatural power. And so they go to the fairs and the festivals around Ireland. I sat down there in Bray a couple years ago. There was like 9 little tents set there, women with these crystal balls, tarot cards, charging 20 and 50 euro a pop for them to lie to people and say, tell them where their lost earrings were and who their boyfriend was going to be and how their life was going to be in the future. And they don't know. That's not a supernatural power that they possess of themselves. They're working with a spirit. You don't believe that? You need to. That's what the Bible says. But God said, get rid of them. Why? Because you can't trust them. They're dealing with lying spirits. Can't trust them. Turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 28, will you? 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. King Saul commanded all the witches in town, in the country, to be destroyed. All of them. And he had some people on his staff who didn't do it. Kind of interesting. You know what they were? They were rebels. Listen to this story. And if you fall asleep, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Look at verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7. I'll read this to you. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord. Listen, stop talking. Just stop talking for a second. Just listen to this for a second. I want you to get this, because there's a lot of witchcraft going on in this country right now. A lot of it. There's a whole movement away from God to Near Eastern religion. And witchcraft is a big part of it. They got them on the radio talk shows, on the television, and you can pay money to hear lies from evil spirits. This is what was happening. I just want you to get this for a second. Look at this. Saul swore to her in verse 10 by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Samuel was dead. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. I don't think she'd ever seen one in real, ever come up from the dead. I don't think she'd ever seen one before. It freaked her out. You know why? Because God was in it this time. Verse 13, and the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. In other words, spirits. And he said to her, what form is he of? She said, an old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophet nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then didst thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? And the Lord has done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyed not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou shalt thou and thy sons be with me. You know what he was saying? Tomorrow you're going to die. And so are your kids. And they're going to be right here. And they weren't in hell. They were in paradise. They were in the land of the living. When witches and warlocks and all that speak and try to dream, draw people up, they're not communicating, because the spirits are dead. When they die and go to hell, they're dead. These, the only reason she could talk to Samuel is because he wasn't dead. He was alive in a place called paradise. And every born-again Christian here today, if you were to die today, if you were in Norway when that guy went mad and shot up a bunch of people at a camp, where would you be today? Where would you be? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you would be with the living in another place called paradise, which Jesus Christ emptied when he descended into the lowest parts of the earth. He was dead for 3 days. You know what he was doing? He was setting all them captives free. And they went in paradise. Not in the center of the earth anymore. The Bible says hell enlarges itself. The only reason she could talk to this guy was because he wasn't dead. He was alive. Sit up, young man. Hey, Junior, hang on. I want you to listen to this, because, no, you have to stand up. I just want you to hear this. I want you to get this. Sit down. Good job. Witches realize... I don't think witches really realize that they're working with Satan and his angels called demons. They really think they got that spiritual gift. Well, Evil spirits are real. And rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. What is that? Communicating with Satan and his angels. What did Eve do in the Garden of Eden? She communicated with Satan. It caused her to rebel against God. And it seemed so subtle. She said, oh, tree. So God really is keeping something back from us. I think Kent Ham, when he made a picture of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he didn't make it look like an apple. You know what he made it look like? A hand grenade. You know what hand grenades do? When they blow up, they spread shrapnel everywhere. What's really mad is she took one bite from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and apparently nothing happened. Because she walked up to her husband and said, this stuff is great. It's from the tree. It's awesome. Have some. And the moment he ate from that tree, the moment he willfully rebelled against God's word, he died. But you know what? That shrapnel went and affected every person sitting in this room. Down through the ages, for 6,000 years, it's still affecting every person, every single one of us. From that one, it was not an apple. It was the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what rebels do? They want to taste that fruit. Their parents said no. That's what Samson did. Samson ate. He didn't want to do what his mom and dad said. He said, get that woman for me. She looks good. Rebellion is like working with the devil. John 8 and verse 44, listen to this. Jesus said to those who would not listen to his words, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. What does that mean? It means he went his own way, just like Adam and Eve, and just like Samson, and just like me, and just like you. Samson is, God put people like him in there because he was absolutely, he's a brilliant story. It's all those, these Bible stories are true. They're not fairy tales. Rebellion is cavorting with the devil. Why should a Christian fear rebellion? Why should you fear rebellion? Remember? Camps are like that. You come and you sit and you listen, but if you don't get the message, it'll just go out of your head. Because we have fun here. It's great. Don't shake it off too fast. It could cost your purpose. You might miss God's perfect will for your life if you stay rebellious. Number two, it will cost you your joy. Adam and Eve experienced that loss of joy when Cain killed his brother Abel because of what they did. Samson never got to have that family that he wanted all the time. Never got to have it. It could cost you your life. If you continue to rebel against your parents, against your pastor, against God, you might die early. You know what? I think Satan was trying to kill me. That's why I was in all those crashes. I think God had mercy on me. I know he did. Well, he did. I'm standing here today. I can still feel my legs. I should be dead. What about you? Maybe you've not been in 12 vehicle accidents, but you got friends out there that try to get you to eat stuff, smoke stuff, and drink stuff, and look at stuff. Some of you guys, what grade are you in? In school. You in sixth class? First year? Third year? Second year? Two? One? Where you at? Fourth class. Fourth class. So what does that make you? About 12? 13? Okay. Thank you. That's how old I was when I was introduced to illegal drugs. About your age. So were all my friends. So a lot of you right here in this room. Introduced to immorality. It's so sick. You know what's sick about it? Is my parents, they had a son. After three girls, they finally had a boy. And he, oh great, I got a boy, I want to have some more. And so we had three more. girls. I was the only guy. That is a bummer. But now I have brothers, man. I got loads of brothers everywhere. That's great. But if it wouldn't have been for somebody coming to me and telling me the truth about God's word, though, I would have been dead after I joined the United States Navy. It would have been bad. But God in His goodness came and brought someone my way. Listen to this, though. If you continue to rebel against your parents, your pastor, and God, you might die early. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. It's the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know, God loves you and He wants it to be well with you. The way of the transgressor is hard. He doesn't want that for you. Every single one in here. Every single person in here. He doesn't want it to be hard for you in this world. He wants you to live and enjoy life. The devil hates you and he's going to try and kill you. And your friends, they're friends. As long as you got money and you're willing to go with them, they'll be your buddies. Watch what happens when the money goes away. Here's what to do. If you're a rebel, you know you are. And by the way, if you're not an outward rebellion and you do what you're supposed to do, but in your heart you don't. My kids, they always clean their room. They had to before they left the house. Had to do it. I always made them, you know, obey their mom and dad. And I trusted my kids. I totally trusted them. They never gave me a reason not to. But inside, they were rebels. And you can't fix that. It's a supernatural thing. I can't see what's in you, but I know one thing. God does. He knows what's in you. So I'm going to ask you right now. I'm going to tell you what to do, how to stop being a rebel. Here's what you got to do. Number one, you got to confess that you're a rebel. Oh, not to me, and not to your priest either. You need to confess it to Almighty God, because He knows your heart. A man can only see on the outward, but God sees the heart. Number two, you need to repent. What does that mean? It means to change your mind. You admit you're a little rebel on the inside, turn from that. That's what repentance means. I'm willing to turn away. Don't just turn away. Turn to God, the one who loves you, cares about you, man. Number three, you need to accept God's forgiveness. Maybe you've been a rebel in the past, and God has forgiven you. Stop thinking about that. Get past that. Let that go, because God heals. All right, finally, this is it. Just accept God's forgiveness. Either trust Him as your Savior now and get His forgiveness that you never had, or repent from your rebellion and ask God's forgiveness. Sin, this rebellious sin cost Samson God's perfect will for his life, and ultimately his life in full. Did you get that? You need to get it from her. She'll tell you. Jesus loves you more than you know. He cares about you. I'm going to ask you right now just to bow your head and